one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Good morning and welcome to Blue Justice, brought to you by LESMA. This is Amanda. I think we have David S. on the line, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm on the road and I can't get a hold of the other David right now, so I'm assuming he's probably on an important phone call or something, so I figured I would go ahead and kick it off. So, yeah. Here we are. I'm going to run radio. Yeah, until he gets here. David, do you have anything to say this morning?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I liked the little photo op that you guys did out in Owosso with all the police officers out there. That was nice.
That was so fun. I love that. I want to set one up in Pryor. We showed up, and there's cops. I guess the community of Owosso does a lot of stuff with their police officers, which I love, and LESMA needs to get involved in that stuff. I love it, love it, love it. But we pulled up and there's cop cars everywhere, and I was expecting one officer, you know, and there were so many, there were like 20 of them, and there's officers standing outside with a sign that says free hugs, and they really stopped me. I'm trying to find a parking space, and they were like, hey, we want a hug. It was the coolest thing ever. I was like, I'll be back, I promise, let me park.
You probably thought something might be kicking off until you saw all the signs.
Do what?
I probably would have pulled up and thinking something was kicking off, seeing all kinds of police vehicles.
Right. Well, I had seen a flyer on Facebook about it, and I have a friend who lives in Owosso who's a LESMA member, and I had invited her, and she's working, so I was like, well... And I really debated whether or not I was going to end up going because it's a good drive for us. I was like, yeah, let's do this. And it was really cool. So I knew why all the cop cars were there. But, I mean, yeah, I never thought about that. That might kind of deter some people from like, what the crap is going on at McDonald's.
Yeah, but not too many McMuffins being sold thinking that something going on.
Right. Well, you know, no, actually the whole entire McDonald's was packed. There was, like, nowhere to sit, and it was really cool, too. There were so many officers. Some were mingling with patrons inside. Some were sitting down and actually having coffee with people. Some were holding doors for people. There were three or four outside holding the free hug sign. It was very, very cool. It was very – and they were packed. They were packed, which I absolutely appreciated seeing that. It was. It actually made my morning.
Yeah,
we go to pull up and I see a, huh?
I love seeing the department do that. They do that back home in Pittsburgh, especially in Zone 5, the Fighting Fifth. They have coffee mm-hmm. with the entire community twice a week, regularly. So that they can hear community concerns in that zone out of that
yes.
precinct. I think
that is awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And LESMA got a lot of play up there today. I gave my card to one officer, not realizing, I guess, he was the supervisor, and I talked to him for a minute, and he was very enthusiastic, and he said that he would be in touch with his union president about us today. So, very cool.
Wonderful.
I was really excited about that. Yes, very excited. gave him my business cards, and yeah, it was actually, I want to see LESMA members in their communities doing more things like this. I do. It can't be that hard to set up.
No, no. You just have to talk to, you know, the higher-ups and, you know, see if they can rally up their troops. And, you know, for them, it's a benefit. You know, get out there and meet
Absolutely.
The public. Absolutely. Get to know your community that you patrol. You know, what better way to get to know everybody but to get in there, you know, sit down and communicate with them, have coffee, make it a social atmosphere. Nobody feels pressured. Make, you know, just enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me 1 second, David. Okay, I'm here. Tammy's in the car with me, and we're trying to operate radio and do everything else at the same time. So, yeah, that was really cool. LESMA members can host these things. You can go to your community department, like you said, talk to the higher-ups and say, we would like for this to happen. And kind of work on it. It's something that absolutely should be done in every community. Absolutely.
Oh, I'll tell you what would be really awesome, too, is not only just the average police officer on patrol, but, you know, get your school resource officers really involved in that because, you know, all of us have kids in school, you know, and what better way
yes.
to voice concerns and, you know, because let's face it, we want to protect our kids, especially if there's a lockdown situation. We want to know what's going on. What better way to tap that information thread but get to the school resource officer?
Absolutely. Well, and another thing you could do is go to your elementary schools. My friend that lives in Owosso says that the schools in Owosso actually get involved and they'll bring the children to these types of events. And get them involved with meeting their officers and things like that. So, you know, get the schools involved, get the SROs involved, get everyone in your community involved. We have it where we're at. We have it, we're double blessed, I guess, because we're in the county seat. So we have the county department and the city department in our area.
Correct.
So we have,
I'll
love that.
What, we have an outstanding school resource officer with our prior PD. I mean, he's an outstanding officer. Really
yes.
is.
Kids, too. Yes, he's a very good guy, very good with the children. The children love him. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was actually going today to see, or going to ask, I didn't go up there for this, but I was going to ask today if call in, but of course I wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have announced on the radio that who they were.
Right.
But I didn't, I missed the opportunity. We got there pretty late having to get our kids off to school and getting there right at the end of the event, but so I didn't get to ask anybody, but that's okay. I mean, I would like for them to call in. If we could get our SRO to call in, that would be cool. We should try that, David.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I mean, I'm sure, you know, he would not turn down the opportunity to get involved. I mean, he's a very involved individual. I mean, he loves our kids. He loves his community. You know, even his wife, even though she, I mean, she's not law enforcement, but she's, you know, a Leo wife. I mean, she's 100% behind him. Plus, she's also a social worker. So, I mean, she can see it from many perspectives. So they love the community.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is something, okay, so that's on my to-do list or your to-do list or that's Tammy's to-do, that's on somebody's to-do list, I'm just saying. Oh, yeah, I forgot, Tammy can't even hear what we're saying. And I can't put it on speakerphone because it's got a lag, like a delay. Yeah, so, okay, anyway, it's on one of our to-do lists. I'll brief her later. It's getting hold of the SRO and seeing if he'll call in the radio and get involved with us. This kind of stuff. Okay, I had something else to bring up. I can't remember what it was. You actually, David, have something to bring up, and it's the you want to give an update on Officer K-9 Aaron?
Yes. The gentleman that I use the term loosely that murdered officer, K-9 officer Aaron, his father who was also involved in the altercation and was subsequently arrested as well on multiple charges. He was originally put in the Allegheny County Jail on a $300,000 bond. He just here the other day just had a bond reduction hearing that his attorneys fought for and were given a bond reduction hearing at one of the local magistrate's office. They carted him over there in shackles, and ultimately they went from a $300,000 bond down to a $25,000 straight bond. I mean, you're talking, you know, over a $250,000 bond, and all of a sudden you're down to just $25,000. I mean, to me, that's like a kick in the teeth. That's like handing out, you know, an invitation to people saying, don't worry about it, we'll reduce your bond, you'll be back out on the street in no time. I think that's deplorable. They should have just maintained the bond at that point and just keep him inside. I mean, he's got a history of violence. He's assaulted police officers on numerous occasions in his past and in this last incident. For them to turn around and reduce the bond that much, to me, that's an insult.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. So tell me about the crowd that's out there making noise.
Well, they've got a couple factions that, along with people from his neighborhood, that are ultimately calling for justice for his son that was shot in the incident, and just calling the neighborhood out and say, stand up and let's give these two people justice. And justice for, you know, him being shot. Well, first off, he wouldn't have been shot if he'd have complied. And secondly, if he wouldn't have brandished the weapon and also murdered a canine officer, he probably wouldn't have been shot either. So what kind of justice are you seeking? All you're doing, what it sounds like to me, is you're just starting to, you know, stir the shit pot. And you're not willing to lick the spoon. So, come on. I mean, you have that, I think I mentioned it the other day last week with Ken, the Black Political Empowerment Project is a big movement there. And like I said, they have BLM ties. And they're creating a dust storm out there as well. And with the neighborhoods backing that, eventually it's going to come to a head. Right now it's nobody's taking the streets and, you know, doing anything disruptive and trying to turn the cities upside down. So far, everybody is just chanting and, you know, and keeping it at that level. But, you know, like anything else, it's a powder keg. You know, they're waiting to see what the Allegheny County DA Zappala does with this overall investigation, what he receives from the Allegheny County Police doing their independent investigation into the matter. Which is always customary when you have a police-involved shooting. You have another agency doing the investigation. And I fully believe that these officers that were involved and fired upon him and killed him, they won't have anything to worry about. But with that being said...
Well, other than, aside from the political pressure that's being applied, and that's the problem with all of this, is political pressure. We talk about the silent majority, and the problem is that these people are making so much noise that it pressures the politicians.
Exactly. It can't be fair and impartial because, you know, let's face it, you know, your district attorneys are elected officials. And if it's an election year coming up, and let's face it, that's the man's bread and butter, you know, is he going to be swayed by public?
Yeah, but, you know, I want to throw this out there. Go ahead.
I would hope that he would do, you know, the right thing, you know, according to the law, regardless if he gets elected or, you know, or not elected again in the next campaign. I've known Zappala for many years, and he's always been a very straightforward, shoot-from-the-hip kind of individual, and he follows the letter of the law. I mean, he really doesn't succumb to peer pressure. He never has, and his ADAs really never have either. So with that being said, I don't think we'll have a problem there, but what ultimately is going to end up happening when it doesn't go in the favor of the, you know, of what the public should think, believe should happen, might start seeing something kick up. But like I said, it's a powder keg. It's just waiting for somebody to light the fuse.
Yeah. Well, and most of America is right now. There are so many people right now that are just looking for these kind of things. But one thing I want to remind our politicians of is that let's use Ferguson, for example. The people that burnt down Ferguson, just the people that burnt down Ferguson, we're not talking about the actual activists. We're talking about the rioters, the ones that make the noise, the ones that cause the problems, the ones that, you know, scream fairness or whatever. They should not have any kind of political influence. I mean, if they're protesting during the day, they're spending countless hours taking their children out to these things. It's not like a two-hour rally where you're like, okay, all of you, we know you have jobs, let's schedule it this way, whatever, whatever. No, I mean, they're going out there in Minneapolis where they camped. They camped on the police grounds for how many days? I think it was 9 before they got removed. Those people can't be working. And if they're not working, tax-paying citizens, are they really voting? I mean, so why are these people letting people pressure them? That's something that I think politicians need to keep in mind whenever they're letting these squeaky wheels pressure them, because the truth of the matter is, if you don't vote, it doesn't matter to these politicians. It shouldn't matter to these politicians if it's about the vote,
But if you take a look at and you polled a lot of those people that were doing all this, you know, rabble-rousing and turning the cities upside down and actually destroying property, if you actually stepped them aside and took a poll as to who can vote and who can't, I guarantee you 9 out of 10 of them aren't even legally allowed to vote because they're convicted felons.
Right. Again. Yeah, again. So we'll need to look at the reality of the entire situation, not look at it as a whole, instead of thinking about, well, these people they want to change, they want something different. First of all, you don't go about getting change by camping on a police department lawn. You don't go about getting change by burning a city down. If you want to go about change, you take the proper channels. There's always a proper channel, and the proper channel with this would be, again, police officers don't write the law. So you need to contact your politician, and as a voter, do it that way. Take the proper channels, do the proper routes, because camping on a police department lawn is not, you might think you're applying political pressure, but you really shouldn't. I mean, it should not have any bearing on a politician because someone is loud and obnoxious. Because the loud and obnoxious are really probably the ones that are not voting.
It's usually, you know, the people who actually can make change, positive change, are the ones that aren't the troublemakers trying to, you know, turn a city upside down or destroy, you know, property and hurt other individuals. Those people that do that, they're not helping their cause any. If you want to get something accomplished, you and I know very well the only way to get something accomplished is, you know, you can go to the table and have discussion, okay? And you're not always going to agree. But at least, you know, there's a forum on the table and everybody has a platform to speak their piece, and, you know, and everybody's ideas are put out there to be dissected. These people that want to turn cars over and set fire to buildings and loot places, you know, they're using it as an excuse to just go out and just be idiots and vandalize shit, just be criminals.
Yeah. So these things, again, should not have any bearing on a political decision. They shouldn't. The purpose of a rally or even peaceful protesting is to let people know that you are a majority, that there are a lot of you who feel a certain way because a lot of times you can't get people to write their politicians. You can't get them to make the phone calls to their office, but you can sure get someone to show up for a couple of hours. That's the purpose of a rally or a protest, is to say, hey, we have strength in numbers, and here's our numbers. And that's the purpose. So when you get people together, and it's not to apply political pressure, it is to, I mean, I guess it kind of is, but it's to show that we are your voters, we are your voting public, and the majority of us feel this way, and as an elected official, it is your job to pass laws or, you know, to hear us out.
You know, go out and commit violence against, you know, another individual or a race of individuals, I mean, you're not helping your cause any. I mean, David posted a video this morning here of the Black Panther movement. I don't know if you saw it yet, but I'll tell you what, it's a scary thought what this individual was saying in this video. He's talking about murdering Whitey, murdering the crackers, and, you know, he's even talking about murdering women and children and newborn babies. It's bad.
What a freak.
And what is
his justification for any of this?
He wants the black people to have freedom. Well, you know what? We all have freedom here. I mean, the only person that jails themselves...
The only thing that holds you back is yourself.
Exactly.
The only thing that holds you back is yourself. Period. End of statement.
If you want to see
it ain't nobody else's fault.
If you really want to see the people that are holding you back, I suggest you go into a room, go to the closest mirror, take a look in it, and if you see yourself, you're the one that's holding yourself back. You're not going to see anybody else behind you. You're not going to see the guy down the street behind you in your mirror. You're going to see yourself. So if you think you're being held back, then you better take a good look at yourself and maybe change your attitude, change your ways. You're the only one holding yourself back. You want to move forward?
Yeah.
Move forward. You want to listen to these idiots like this with irrational behaviors and attitudes? Then I guess you're going to succumb to the same thing that's going to happen to them, and it's not going to be pretty.
Right. Yeah, so pick yourself up by your bootstraps, everybody, and do what you got to do. But, yeah, hey, hold on 1 second, guys. Okay, maybe not. I thought I had a message, and I was thinking it might have been David. Tammy wanted to bring up, and I think it's a good point to bring up, too, on, I don't know who started this, but the animal tea awareness. We were talking about Canine Aaron, and I wanted to throw that out there. They were saying, flood Facebook with pictures of animals and make your Facebook profile a picture of an animal if you're against animal cruelty, and I think that's cute. So... Through February 29th, she wanted to put that out there, and I like the idea. She said that explains her dog on her profile picture.
I saw her dog laying
as well.
I thought the dog was trying to get a suntan.
The dog was trying to get a suntan. You thought your dog. Yeah. Tammy said that's how she sleeps. That's just something cute that's going around, and I like it. I put my dog on there, who is a canine officer now, and he's not my dog anymore. He's a canine officer. I donated him to a police department. So they actually asked for him because they loved him because he's just that good, but that's just my dog, you know. I'm a proud canine mama. I have to throw that out there whenever I can. I just love it. Do we have any other topics, David?
I think we have pretty much open general discussion here about everything. I mean, let's face it, the world's going to shit and it's going to hell in a handbasket.
Things are, I mean, you know, what else do we have going on? We have some FOPs. And the Beyonce thing, Dallas came out and said they do not encourage the boycott, I believe, if I'm not mistaken there. I think they said they don't encourage the boycott. So let's just go back to the community. What LESMA can do, we've done so many things in the community before. We've had people take goodie bags to their officers. I've said this a million times, take prepackaged stuff. Don't home bake cookies, especially if you have a big department, because you're going to give the officers a heart attack. They're going to be like, I am not eating something that might be poisoned, you know.
And you can't blame them for that. I mean, look what's going on. Is to have somebody come up and give them a plate of brownies.
Exactly. Yeah. Tammy suggested having the kids make thank you cards, which is a really good idea. yeah, letters, anything. And with that said, you can also call your kid's school and ask if the classroom can do it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get all the kids from all age groups, not just the little ones in first grade, kindergarten, and all that, but get the teenagers, get the junior highs, get the high school kids involved as well. Let them have make a voice that way, saying how much they appreciate them. Get all age groups involved.
Yep. Any kind of community event that you can think of or awareness, just to say we support our officers. Back whenever Ferguson and Baltimore were going on and it was a really big deal, it's like I don't think I ever thought about airing this on the radio, but I wrote this post and it was basically saying an officer needs to know you have his back before something bad happens. Before. An officer needs to know that you support them in general as a whole before something happens. And your politicians need to know that. Your mayor needs to know that, because when there is an officer-involved shooting or some kind of thing, event that looks like where the officer's thrown under the bus, they know that they have community support and that they know that they will be supported if they are in the right. If they were justified in what they did. Obviously nobody supports a bad cop. But if they were justified, they know they have the community support. The mayor, how many officers have gotten thrown under the bus recently by mayors and sheriffs and governors even? How many people have come out and said, I just saw that 30-second video and that officer was wrong, only for the 3-minute video to come out later and then to go, oh, insert foot. We've had so many, I can't think of the word, so many politicians and celebrities have come out and said, like, made rash judgment against a police officer. Hold on 1 second, I'm getting a message. Okay. Just say okay. Anyway,
you've got a lot of politicians. I mean, you've got a lot of celebrities in that. They use their status, and anybody who has a high status within a community has the ability to sway public opinion to the negative real quick. And if that's what they're out there to do, I mean, come on, we've got to stand up and rally against that, because you can't sit there and let a so-called Beyonce or somebody else that has quite a bit of influence on the way the public perceives things, because they believe these people. They look up to some of these people, and they influence decisions. So, for them to sit there and use their status to sway public opinion it's one thing for you to have an opinion about something, but to use your status to change everybody's opinion, come on.
Right. Well, the thing is, like your mayor, starting on an individual level or a city, citywide level, your mayor, if they see a town of 10,000 people and you get a good 1,500 people show up to a pro-police rally or an LEO event in support, when something happens with one of their officers, they're not going to make a rash judgment. They're going to be like, wait a minute, I don't want to piss either. I better know what I'm talking about before I open my mouth to the public.
Exactly. Get all your ducks in a row. Do your homework.
Absolutely. No rash decisions, no rash judgments. So that's what we're saying about let your cities, your towns, your officers, your mayors, your city council, let them know that you support your officers as a whole, that you support law enforcement before something bad happens. And then when something bad happens, you're going to make them think twice before they come out on camera and say, this looks really bad, without actually knowing the details, the facts, and what's actually going on. Because when a mayor throws his officer under the bus, or a city council, or a governor throws a police officer under the bus without knowing the facts especially, it really affects morale of the officers, because they think nobody has their back. We saw SRO Ben Fields His sheriff just tossed him right under the bus. Bad deal. You ruin the morale of the officers around you, because the people that should have your back in situations, when something bad comes up, it's they're just like, hold on, what am I? Yeah, I don't. Tammy's showing me messages. David's not going to be here today. Yeah, he thinks this is funny. Okay, so anyway, before something bad happens, let your communities know. Also, the message you're sending when you do this is to the Black Lives Matter, the Black Panthers, the crowds that want to stir up trouble. If they see 1,500 at a pro-police event, then they're not as likely, if they only have four or five friends that want to cause a lot of noise, they are not as likely to try to, like if there's an officer-involved shooting or something, any kind of discrepancy that's made public, they're not as likely to say, hey, let me get my three or four friends and go cause a ruckus at the courthouse, because they realize that there are 1,500 people in that town that also will gladly stand up and counter them. There are no negative effects to coming out ahead of time and saying, I support my law enforcement. There just aren't.
Right. Well, we do have some good news as far as recuperating officers that have been shot. So everybody knows that we have a sheriff's deputy, Mike Hutchinson, 52 years of age. He was shot four times in the brat. He's a deputy. He was shot four times while trying to serve warrants, arrest warrants. And he has just been released. He's home. He is now home. He was released Monday.
Wow.
Home. So he is recuperating.
That is great. That is great.
I mean, we hear all the bad. I'd like to, make sure that people are hearing some of the positive out there, that the officers that have survived their wounds are on the mend. And hopefully, I pray that they'll be back on the job.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yes, John. Yes. Sorry, my kid's talking to me. He doesn't realize I'm on the radio. Again, I'm in the car, so it's kind of, yeah. We have anything else?
Well, it's pretty much, I mean, I'm just trying to follow these different cities are the various things that they've got going on, because the BLM moving around, and now with the Black Panther movement trying to spotlight themselves with the BLM, they were kind of a silent faction. They were helping the BLM, but now they're trying to be, they want to take a dominant stance now, from what I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
over the BLM, and want the BLM to follow them. And it's just, I don't see anything positive coming out of this. All I see is more civil unrest, and even some Black Panther movements have gone so far as to, I think it's in Texas, it's in Houston, I think. There's a faction of the BLM, or the Black Panthers, I'm sorry, that are walking down the streets fully armed to the teeth, under the Constitution, they have the right to bear arms, as long as they're not felons, but they're walking down, and it's very intimidating where these people are afraid to come out of their homes, because these people are not only walking down with rifles and, 9mm and everything else, but they're chanting hate propaganda at the same time. And
right.
It's going to make life really difficult, because when the police do respond to these situations, I foresee something really bad happening here. I mean, I'm not looking at a positive spin coming out of this.
I wonder what it's like in Texas, though. I wonder if it's like in Oklahoma, a cop cannot stop you and say, "Let me see your registration for your gun, not your registration, your CCL." In Oklahoma, yeah. They can't stop you and ask you to see your CCL. Now, do I think you're a douchebag if they do and you don't give it to them? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. If you are a legally armed carrier and license holder, and a cop wants to double check that, then show them the damn license. Show them.
Yeah.
Don't start no shit. You know. Now, don't look at this cop and say you don't have a right to ask me that. Which by law, that's correct. They don't have a right to stop you and ask you for your license. Like if they just see you in public or whatever, they have to have probable cause to see your license. However, don't be a douche either. But I wonder what the law is in Texas about that. I wonder, because that would be very, the law is that an officer can say, hey, let me see your license to have that.
I know, in and of itself
cause a conflict.
I mean, I know Texas is a big supporter of gun rights, just like Oklahoma is. Now, as far as do they inquire whether or not you got a CCL? I don't know, but I know they're all pro. They're pro gun, so I don't think that there's that issue there. But when you've got groups that are a volatile group and have a history, I mean a really known history, and it's documented, I think you've got a recipe for disaster. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if the officers can even if they can in Texas legally approach these groups of people and say, I want to see your licenses for these firearms you're carrying, that alone could cause a major conflict. So what does the officer do in that situation? What is let's just hypothetically, because I do not know, and I'm not in front of my computer, but let's say hypothetically in Texas, you are allowed to, my son is shushing me. Do you hear this?
Yeah.
Let's say in Texas that the officer is allowed to approach anyone they want to and say, let me see your license for that handgun or whatever it is you're carrying. What does the officer do if, let's say they're not called, because I know if they're called to the situation, like if somebody calls and says, I'm scared, these people are, there's carrying guns out here, I know they have to respond to that. But let's say the officer's just driving around and he sees this group of like 10 people who look militant, carrying firearms, and he has the right to go and ask them, does he do that? Does he go and approach them and say, hey, y'all look kind of suspicious. Can I see your licenses? Or does he, tell me, David, what an officer does in that position? Or hypothetically, what you would do or what you think would happen?
Well, depending on where we're at, I mean, if you have a situation where you're permitted as a law enforcement officer to go up and ask somebody, do you have a CCL? I mean, there's a way to approach them. If you see them openly carrying like that, you can go up and just have a nice, quiet, calm, start up a conversation with them. And then say, oh, by the way, do you have your CCL license with you? There's a way to approach it. I mean, every situation dictates what you're going to do. I mean,
right.
If it was a man with a gun, okay, well, naturally, you have to respond in kind and protect yourself and the public at large, because you may have a possible shooter. The situations are, I mean, they change at the drop of a hat, but it's all in the officer's approach. You can go in there guns blazing, which I don't recommend, but in some cases you have.
Yeah.
But if you just see somebody just walking, they're not really bothering anybody. But
well, I'm talking about a group of people, a large group, like 10 people. There's one, maybe two officers top, and like 10 of them.
And you see a group of individuals. First off, what I would do is, from a distance, I would be eyeballing them just to see what they're actually doing. And then, eventually I'm going to have to roll up on it, because I've got to inquire as to what's going on. When you see a group of individuals carrying firearms walking down the street, yeah, I think an inquiry is justified. But you can walk up to, you find out who the lead person is. Don't go to the person at the end of the line. Go to the person at the beginning of the line. They're usually the leader.
The one calling the shots, too.
Don't approach them with a negative attitude. Just try to find out what their purpose is, why they're rallying carrying firearms. You know, just say, I just want to, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. You know, clue me into what you're trying to get across here. And then, you know, you find out, you know what your legalities are, you know, what you're responsible for doing and what the citizen is responsible for following. I mean, they've got to follow the law. You can't just go down and harass people, you know, and scare people with a bunch of AK-47s and shotguns and 9mm. And you have to approach this very tactfully, because if not, you're going to have a major shootout, and a lot of innocent people are going to get hurt.
Right.
Now, if you rally,
absolutely,
you sit there and say, well, I've got 20 individuals with guns, but I've been watching them and surveying the situation. They haven't made any kind of move against anybody. I've seen other pedestrians walking up and down the street past them. They haven't harmed anyone. I can try and, you know, go down a block ahead of them and just, you know, park there, and when I see them walk, I'm saying, oh, excuse me, you know. But you may want to have some backup nearby, close by, just in case, you know, the situation goes sideways, because there's always that part. There's no telling. I mean, the mind is a complex thing. People change their mind in a split second, and they've gone from law-abiding citizen to criminal in about seconds.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to say how you're going to handle that situation. I can sit here and probably dissect 20 different scenarios, but there's no telling. It's hard to say. The officer has to use good judgment and has to trust his gut too.
Well, and let's go with that. I want to point out something. One thing I do know about that I can very much testify to, and that is fear. That officer may be approaching those 10 individuals terrified, thinking today I might get shot. But one thing that I really respect about law enforcement, and I think is such a big deal that people don't ever give officers credit for, and it's the fact that they're human, but that fear. Officers do experience fear, and you're never going to tell me otherwise. You're never going to tell me otherwise.
But I mean, fear is just a natural response.
Yes, but you can't. But the officer cannot let these people sense that. They cannot sense that fear. And
I mean,
so
I've seen numerous encounters over a long period of time here, where I've seen people, like a lot of encounters have been happening in Los Angeles, where the LAPD has come across, you know, small groups of individuals just walking down the street, and one has a loaded shotgun and a sling over his back, over his shoulder. And two others are carrying other rifles, you know, a couple 9mm. And I've seen them encounter, you know, 5-6 individuals and just two officers. But they did it so tactfully that when they approached it, you know, they ended up having a good conversation. And the individuals were, you know, forthcoming and say, yeah, we've got, you know, our CCLs and, you know, we can open carry. We're not breaking any laws. You know how they all go through their schmeal. But you let them have their say, don't interrupt them, and say, okay, now that you've spoken, I'm going to speak, and we just want to let you know this neighborhood has some concerns. They saw you, and they're scared. We have a job to do. We have to check every call. You know, we're bound by the law just like you are, and I enforce the law. So, you know, you as a, you know, if you're an upstanding citizen, you're not going to be offended by me talking to you.
Right.
If
right, 100%.
Obviously, you and I are going to have a problem, but if you're law-abiding like you say you are, you shouldn't have any problem with anything that I'm talking to you about.
Right. Absolutely. I just got the 90-second warning, and I just walked in my house. I'm sure you heard a little bit of noise. I was trying to keep it down, but we got 90 seconds. So I love that. I love hearing you talk about the approaches and the, you know, but a lot of times we need to remember our attitude. When I walked up today, I wasn't even thinking about I had my gun on my side, of course, I always do, and I had a jacket on. It was hidden, but it wasn't. I mean, come on, anybody could see it if they wanted to, and I walked up to these officers, and of course they're all wanting their hugs. And sorry guys, and I'm giving them hugs, and I see this one officer. He says, and points at my side to the other officer, and the other officer nods, you know. And I was like, oh yeah, guys, sorry, you know, I wasn't trying to. A citizen's approach. David, take over for me for 1 second.
I mean, a citizen's approach to that kind of situation, just be positive. You know, you're a law-abiding citizen. You have a CCL. You know, officers are going to notice. I mean, we're trained to look for things that stand out, that are out of the ordinary. And we're going to be able to tell, you know, you've got something on your side. Yeah, I mean, a coat fits a certain way. That's just like walking down, you know, you see somebody in the summertime wearing a full-length leather coat in the middle of 90-degree heat. That individual's up to something. You know, nobody wears something like that 90-degree heat unless they're concealing something on purpose.
The citizen's approach to everything is going to make all the difference in the world. Yes, the officers noticed that I was armed, and they were telling each other, you know, hey,
yeah, the
she does have a gun
among,
on her side. Yes.
Yeah, the word spread
and
among
then,
every one of them, by the time you were done, every one of them knew that you were armed. Every single one
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to hide it by any means. It just kind of happened that, it, you know, like I said, my coat was on. I wasn't paying attention to the fact that it was, you know, it was covered slightly. So whenever I went inside the building where there are like 20-plus officers, I actually pulled my coat away from it. So, they, you know, it's wide open. It's there. They see it. I was very friendly with them. I spoke with them all. Nobody ever addressed it. No one ever spoke to me about it. I know they all spotted it, which is absolutely fine. But that could have been a situation that could
sure.
have turned out very bad if I hadn't have approached it, you know. Go ahead.
But as a police officer, you know, I'm going to look at the person's stance. You know, if they're armed, if somebody is armed, I'm going to look and try and categorize them in such a way to where I feel if, you know, their body language says a lot. You know, they obviously didn't find you as a threat. Okay, your body language says, I'm not a threat. You know, I'm here, I have it, but it's just, right now, it's I'm carrying it like I carry my wallet, my purse, my, you know, what, or a package, you know. But if somebody's blatantly walking down the street, I mean, and they're holding this firearm in a manner to where, in a split second, all I have to do is turn it and pull the trigger. You've got your finger near the trigger. I might think you might have other intentions. Or you're going out of your way to make sure that it stays concealed. Yeah, there's another red flag. But somebody like yourself that walks up, hey, yeah, and they're asking for hugs, but you showed no, you did not have an aggressive attitude about you. You know, it's all in the body language, the attitude, when you speak, how you address something. You know, the minute you open your mouth, you know, and how you stand and express yourself, it's going to say a lot about you and, you know, whether or not I should put up a red flag on your ass or not.
Right, 100%. So the same thing with these groups of people. If you're talking about 10 people armed, how the officer perceives you is 100% going to dictate that conversation you're having with that officer.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
And that is human nature, and I don't care who likes it. I don't care who doesn't like it. That is human nature. Someone comes at me, and now officers are bigger than I am. They're bigger people than I am. Someone comes at me aggressive, I'm going to usually respond in kind. You get aggressive with me, and I'm going to be aggressive right back. And I just mean verbally. I just mean your body language, your stance, your tone. If you're coming at me aggressive, I'm usually going to respond in kind. Officers are trained so much, not so much to be so. They're still the neutral party. They have to kind of shut their emotions off to do that, to respond to certain people certain ways. I can, but it's very hard for me. So that's human nature. When an officer is coming to you and talking to you, your behavior dictates that conversation. And that's something that people need to always know and always keep in mind. And, again, there's a human aspect to that. The fear is very human.
It's like I say, if you go out of your way, you know, myself personally, somebody I'm going to have to look at a little bit, you know, take a second look at is somebody who goes out of their way to conceal a firearm. Okay, I understand if you got a CCL, you have the right to conceal it, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm more apt to question or want to talk to somebody who's concealing versus somebody who open carries, because I can see it, okay? I see where your hands are. I'm watching your body language, you know, and if I'm near you, I might hear you, and I can hear your attitude, you know. But if you're going out of your way to conceal something, you're 9 times out of 10, if you're really trying hard to conceal something from the police officer's view, you're up to no good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 100%. I mean, again, they're individuals, they're human beings, and they're not out to get anybody. That's the deal. They're not out to get anybody. So stop treating officers like they...
You know, they've got to not only protect everybody else's life, you know, in the community against aggressions like that, but also themselves. I mean, come on. You know, do you think that they just said, okay, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to get shot today, you know, on purpose because I want to protect you? No, they're going to protect themselves.
And they have that constitutional right. They have that constitutional right as an American citizen, as a human being. They have the right just as much as you or I to protect their life. And that part is...
And an oath that they swore, you know, to protect the community at large from a possible, you know, death threat, you know, deadly situation. You can't just let, you know, I mean, yeah, they're human, but they're going to protect themselves at all costs, you know. And if you're, it's bottom line is you pull a weapon on a police officer or make that aggressive, you know, act towards a police officer, you're going to pay the ultimate price. And they're fully justified in protecting themselves and the community behind them.
Yes.
Keep that in mind.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, David, let's end it on that. I like ending it right there. So let's do that. And I'll be back tomorrow. So I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Guys in the LESMA, be thinking of things you can do in your community. My gears are really grinding right now, so if you guys have ideas, you can run them by me.
Yeah, anybody who has ideas, please call in and make it known to everybody. Let's hear all the ideas you have.
Yeah, and I'll help you guys organize something if you want to. I would love it. Love it. Today's the 3-year anniversary since my first rally, and I miss it. I kind of miss it. Let's organize and do something positive in our communities for our police officers, and hit me up if you guys need help. I would love it. So, okay, we'll end on that. David, I will talk to you probably tomorrow, and everybody else have a good day, and I'll see everybody soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Have fun. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.